We are here with pianist Terry Kleinfelter. Terry is a keyboardist with the Harrisburg Symphony Orchestra. She's a Steinway artist. She's also on the faculty at Westchester University. She plays classical, she plays jazz, she plays in a variety of settings and has collaborated with artists from different genres. And Terry, you've just finished concerts, I understand, with the Harrisburg Symphony featuring Denzel Sinclair singing from the Nat King Cole songbook.
Yes, that was this past weekend. It was a really fun show, and it featured the rhythm section, so we got to show off a little bit. So it's very enjoyable.
Well, welcome to WRTI.
Thank you, Susan. Pleasure to be here.
And for this session, you're performing a variety of pieces for us. What is the first piece?
Scarlatti Sonata in B minor, K87. It is a work with Spanish inflections. I included it on a recital that I gave at Westchester last year, which the common theme was Spanish influences. So everything from Albanus to Scarlatti, and then the second half featured some works by Chick Corea and even Jelly Roll Morton, the Creepy Feeling, which has his Spanish tinge, which was a big part of jazz. So that was the common theme, even though there were a lot of different genres, so to speak.
So this piece is Scarlatti.
Yes, Scarlatti in his slightly Spanish mode.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, we are live in the WRTI Performance Studio with pianist Terry Kleinfelter. Terry, that was so serene and got me into a sort of zone. And you play such a variety of works. How did you get started doing all of this?
I came to music actually first through the trumpet, believe it or not. In elementary school, they herded a bunch of us into the cafeteria to take a music test, and a couple of us scored well, and they said, you're going to play an instrument. So I went home. At the time, we didn't have a piano, but my grandfather was a professional trumpeter. He had a big band, played on Atlantic City on Steel Pier. And
cool.
My uncle tells me that Bick Spiderbeck used to come and hear him after his gig. So I guess I didn't know him because he died when I was quite young, but I enjoy hearing about his story and how he came up as a professional musician. So I think that's where it comes from. But I played trumpet all through school, and gradually piano kind of overshadowed that.
Really?
It was over when I sold my trumpet to buy a 10-speed bicycle. At that point, my trumpet career was over. But piano, I had the good fortune to have a wonderful teacher, and continued through high school and college with him and Benjamin Witten. So that was pivotal for me.
So were you always studying both classical and jazz?
I didn't so much study jazz as absorb it. It's done through a little bit of a different process, I think, than although I did have lessons with the wonderful Philadelphia pianist Gerald Price, who I'm sure many on the scene will remember. It's not as much done in the academy, but more out playing with people. But there are folks who now are coming to Westchester, where I teach, to study jazz, and so we're passing the tradition on. And there's a rich tradition in Philadelphia of, you know, both classical and jazz music. So
right. Well, some people stick to classical, some people stick to jazz, but I would think if you do both, they kind of inform each other.
They do, although the process is very different for each. So sometimes you really have to keep the way you work separate with the two genres.
Do you have one love?
I don't. Whatever I'm doing in the moment, I love. So I enjoy playing jazz for different reasons than the reasons that I enjoy playing classical music. So,
okay. So what are we about to hear next?
Well, the next piece is actually an arrangement of a Tchaikovsky piece from the Nutcracker, the Intermezzo. One of the things we do with the symphony is we accompany every year the Central Pennsylvania Youth Ballet at the Hershey Theater, which is a gorgeous theater. And these ballet dancers are so well trained in the Balanchine tradition. And so I play the Nutcracker on the celesta. I'm the sugar plum fairy, basically. But I've always been jealous of what the horns and the strings get to do when they play these big climactic moments, when the Mouse King is defeated, the Christmas tree grows, and and the Marie passes out on the bed, and she comes back to greet the Nutcracker, who becomes a prince. And I cry every year when this happens. So it's very touching. I determined that I was going to learn this piece in the Pletnev arrangement for piano. So this is the Intermezzo from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker. Thank you. Breathe after that.
That is beautiful. You can really picture all that's happening in the ballet. And that must be one of the cool things about a piano. You can create a whole world if you want.
We have the orchestra at our fingertips, so to speak, on a good day. So we try to invoke that.
If you're just joining us, we're in the WRTI Performance Studio listening to Terry Klinefelter play live from her vast repertoire, because you play jazz, you play classical. And I want to pick up on something you said earlier, which was you love to play classical and jazz for different reasons. So classical, what?
Well, there's this great body of masterworks written for this instrument, and it's from Beethoven to Brahms, Scarlatti, Rachmaninoff, Chopin, and you have access to that. You have to build a technical foundation, of course, and it's about interpreting the works of the great masters, bringing them to life, and bringing that emotion to an audience. Jazz is in the moment. The show we played this weekend, there was a trumpeter behind me, and he said to me, "You just have chord changes on your music. You're making up a lot of stuff." I said, "That's pretty much what jazz is. I'm responding to what is happening, what the singer's doing, what he's doing when he improvises, what the drummer's doing." So that's the joy of jazz, I think, just responding to your colleagues when you're playing live. So.
And is it difficult to switch gears between classical and jazz?
It is. It is. I keep them separated. So once in a while, I'll program something that involves both genres, and it's not easy. So I actually prefer to have different things for different shows.
Well, I sense that there's a lot of fun in your extremely varied life.
There is. Every day's different. So I enjoy that aspect of it. It's fast-paced, and there's always something new to do.
And I noticed on your website, you even have a section on yoga.
That's something I took up a long time ago. I did get a teacher certification. I don't feel the need now to turn that hobby into a career, but I have used it. I have taught in yoga studios, and I've also used it for my students. At the end of the semester, they tend to get nervous for their juries, and I'll usually host a session to get people grounded and feeling connected, and you know, to stretch and feel like you can be your best when you go to play your instrument.
Just another important thing to learn when you're becoming a professional musician.
True.
Right. So the last piece you'll play for us is switching gears a little bit.
A little bit. It's an arrangement of, actually, this piece appears in classical compositions. I think it was mentioned this morning on RTI. The Appalachian Spring by Aaron Copland uses that Shaker hymn, Simple Gifts, and I kind of did a, well, what if I arranged it as a jazz composition with different chords? So I did that. It was on my first recording, recorded at the Music Center here in Philadelphia area, and I'm going to play it for you now.
That's great.
Thank you.
terrific arrangement.
Thank you.
We've been listening to Terry Kleinfelter play her own arrangement of Simple Gifts, the folk melody. That was really wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to play on this wonderful Steinway in here. It's a beautiful instrument.
Well, taking a look at what you have coming up, you have so many things coming up. In addition to having, you know, regular teaching gig at Westchester, you have on March 18th a faculty recital, March 26th a performance with vocalist Lisa Essex, April 4th you're playing at the Manayunk Jazz Festival with someone called Paul Kleinfelter.
Yes, my husband. The Jazz Bridge of Philadelphia is curating that festival, so I got a call from them, and they do wonderful things in Philadelphia, and they support local musicians, so that was Jazz Bridge event. My faculty recital is going to feature a work by Maria Schneider that won 3 Grammy Awards. It's for full strings and improvising musicians. So there are classical and jazz elements of that piece. Ann Ciola will be doing vocals for us. And Scott Robinson, who was on the original recording with Maria Schneider, is going to be joining us. And the second half will be jazz tunes.
Wow, so, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We're using some students in the orchestra as well. So it calls for a sizable string group.
And your husband is bass player.
Yes, he is. He's in the symphony as well and also wears many hats.
Well, as a teacher and being around all these young musicians, do you have optimism for the future of this art form?
I do. It's really exciting to see what students do when they get out in the world. They develop their own careers, some of them as arts entrepreneurs, presenters, managers, others as performing pianists. All kinds of things. Arts management, members of orchestras, jazz musicians.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come visit the WRTI Performance Studio, Terry.
Thank you, Susan. It was a pleasure to be here.
And good luck with all your upcoming schedule and keeping everything straight.
Keeping all those balls there. Prokofiev 7 is coming up in April as well with Harrisburg Symphony. That's got a big piano part. So wearing a lot of hats these next few months.
That's right. For more information, check out Terry's website. But thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.